to be okay and looked upon as if that's okay. And what is their underpinning slogan? Judge not. Who are you to judge? Who are you to tell me? Listen, God says judge. You want to be manly? You got to judge. You got to start saying wrong, right. That's being manly. It's not about being able to arm wrestle somebody. I had a young fellow that was staying with the Wilsons there for a while. We went out to eat. He says, "Come on, let's arm wrestle. Let's arm wrestle. I can take you. I took this preacher and I took that. Come on, let's do this." Well, I schooled him. And then he said, "That was my right hand. Let me do a left hand." Now, what he wanted to do was he wanted to stand up and go like this. I said, "Sit down in your seat." We did left hand. I schooled him. And I got to say, I took a great deal of encouragement knowing that the Catholic priest was whooped on him by him. He whooped the Catholic priest and he also whooped another preacher in the neighborhood, which I will leave his name anonymous. But I digress. He expresses some warnings. Manliness includes not only the need to proclaim and make judgments, but also at the end of verse 9 it says, plead the cause of the poor and needy. That means you're not above praying for somebody. Manliness says, I'm going to begin to intercede because you know you have a standing with God. Plead the cause. It may be in the court of law, but it may be at the throne of grace. He says, you want to do something, you got to be virtuous. You got to be moral and you got to be manly. This is what she was telling him from the get-go. Guys, every one of you are in jeopardy. Every one of us in the room. They have a wand and they can throw it your way and you've got to see them like the Iraqis have to be seen by our soldiers. Some are needing protection and they need care and they need to be not only protected but encouraged forward. But some are dangerous. Read chapters 1 through 6 or actually up to chapter 9. He'll tell you all about the strange woman and the way she'll allure the man and bring him to a piece of bread. She will make him miserable to the point where he has nothing. And he sits down in the dust being completely desolated. Why? Because of a woman. Well, then she tells us about women. And I'm going to give you these quick because it's a longer passage, but it's really misunderstood. Verse 10 says this, who can find a virtuous woman? The word virtue is the word strong. It's the same word he said, give not your strength to women. Who can find a strong woman? You know what a strong woman is? A strong woman is somebody who understands their role before Almighty God. Understands that they were the spattering of beauty in the world. Understands that they were not meant to be God, but meant to be good. Understands that their smile can light up a world of people around them. Their families, their kids. They can make their daughters hopeful. They can make their sons bold as a lion. They can make their husbands charge hell and not look back. They can launch ships, man. They can start wars for the right cause if they want. They understand it. Who can find a strong woman? This is a mother talking to her son. Who can find one like this? Her price is far above rubies. See, this woman telling her son understands, first of all, the true struggle and danger that every woman faces. And that is that desire to be in control. That desire to be powerful. That desire to be what? Like God. That's the struggle every woman faces. And what she finds is when she seizes that power, she finds herself lonely. She finds herself unfulfilled. Do you know what's so neat about her talking to us on this level? Is that when guys get together, we talk about, hey, how you doing? Moms come to us and they talk to us about, how you feeling? They want to know how you feeling. Why? It's because they're relational and because God created them to care about how we feel because they know that the quality of our lives is wrapped up in the integrity of our hearts. You can have all the stuff and be miserable, and women who seize the control in their world find themselves miserable. Yes, they had power. Yes, they had strength. Yes, they could do it. Our world is bent toward letting them succeed. And yet when they're there, they're lonely, unfulfilled, and they've not used what God has given them to use to become a builder of the world and of the future. Our women are our builders. They're our life givers. They're the ones that inspire. It's true, isn't it? Why cheerleaders? I always had a problem with male cheerleaders. They call them yell leaders. I want some guy over there, yay, go Dave! I'm like, man, go away. But if Linda's standing over there, yay, Dave! I'm like, that's my girl. And then there's Charlie and Michelle, and I don't think she's in here, but I'm busting her out. We played softball, and she said, look at chicken legs running around those bases. You need to have a talk with her about that, brother. Frankly, he hasn't played softball since. I don't know. Maybe that was what it was all about. But I digress. What is the passage saying? It's saying that there's strength in a woman who's truly got her mind around what's going on, understands. This woman understands the true struggle and danger. And he says to she says to her son, who can find a virtuous woman? And when you look at the unfolding of these pictures painted for us, don't miss the fact that verse 11 says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Now, several things about this woman are here, but the things we tend to do is we miss the forest for the trees. We look at the fact that she sews. My wife hates sewing. I got her a sewing machine. It's sitting by the door, and it's been there for 2 months. By the way, thanks, Kenny, for giving us that sewing machine. But I'm just saying. Anyway, she doesn't like sewing. But I've never met a more virtuous woman in all my life. And I am honored and proud to have her as my wife. And I know her kids are honored and proud. She's like, itch, Nate. I am. It doesn't have to do with the specific thing she did. It has to do with what she was aiming at. The first thing she did was she aimed at making sure that he is able to feel safe with her. You know, guys, you guys who are newly married, let me tell you something, a trick about your marriage. You're going to have spats. And you can choose to have those spats. And any one of those spats, your entire future is on the line. Because you can choose at that moment when you throw a fit or they throw a fit to decide to stay stuck right there. And marriage is 30 years down the road, have a man on one side of the house and a woman on the other side of the house, and they're lonely and miserable because nobody would come back and say, I'm sorry. Every time you have a spat, understand it's a branch. The devil's trying to build a wedge between you and your woman. Now, gals, this woman made up her mind she was going to help her husband feel safe. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. The next thing it says about her, in verse 12, it says, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know what spoil is, don't you? It's not your milk in your fridge back home, okay? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the spoils of war. In other words, she's not only going to make him feel safe, she's going to make him feel satisfied. He doesn't want anything else. He doesn't need spoil. He doesn't need to go whoop up in the world. He's happy at home. She's a strong woman. She understands her smile lights up his world. She understands that her attaboy means the world to him. She understands when she says, honey, you can do it. You're a good man. She understands that he believes her because God stroked the world with beauty and said, there's your help. She tells you you're going to be all right. You believe it. She doesn't have a clue whether you're going to be all right or not. But we believe her. Because it doesn't matter if anybody else in the room thinks we'll be all right as long as they do. She satisfies him. The Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied, but she sees to it he has a sense of satisfaction in his wife and in his life with her. Verse 12 says it this way, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And that tells us she settles him. You see, men being in the fallen condition that we are, tend to be very renegade by the angst that is in us, that strength that we might give to women, you know. We might be renegade when the world has kind of crumbled around us sociologically. It can be charted, beloved, it can. Ever since feminist movement rose in the 50s, after birth control and into the 60s, crime has gone up, homosexuality has gone up, vandalism has gone up, murders and rapes have gone up. Why? It's because the men are not willing to fight with their women. And all of their anger and all of their angst to go and conquer is not being reined in by the woman who looks at him and gives him a reason to relax. Gives him a reason to focus his energies. Now, I'm talking to the church. I'm not talking to the world. You know, this is what happens in the world. When the world goes south, the men go crazy. Can I get a witness? That's what we're seeing. The church has a kind of an understanding, and we're struggling, but we're not exempted from the influence of the world. That means that our ladies think that they're supposed to have a career out of the gate. And what ends up happening is they don't recognize. And this is where strength comes in. You have to recognize, yes, you have power, but don't forget your focus. Your focus is to make him feel safe, to help him feel satisfied with his home and his life, to help him settle himself. The word for good here, when it says she will do him good, means pleasantness, merriment, moral goodness. We'll be walking along, taking a walk, and Linda will look at something, she'll say, "Look at that flower." I'm like talking in the middle of the sentence, and she's distracted by a flower. I'm like, I just had an epiphany. I had just solved all the world's problems, and she's looking at a flower. Hey! She brings delight in my life. She makes me laugh, and she understands she has that power to do that. So she helps settle him. She also understands true strength and dignity of women. Let your eye fall down in the passage to verse 23. It says, "Her husband is known in the gates where he sitteth among the elders of the land." See the difference between the forest and the trees? You can look at the spindle. You can look at her getting up early. You can look at her light not going out at night. You can say, "I can't do all that." But her focus was making him feel safe. Now, folks, listen, don't laugh at your men in a deriding way. Let me give you a little heads up. David was so excited about God when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the kingdom of Jerusalem. Finally got it home. He's down there and all he has on is some shorts and no shirt. He's dancing around. Woo! Jesus, God is here and he's having a great day. And Michal comes in and she says, "Oh, didn't the king look glorious today?" And she chided him and laughed at him and mocked him. And the Bible says that her womb was barren from that day. It very well could be that he never visited her again because she locked him into feeling embarrassed in front of her. Don't ever embarrass your man. Make him feel safe. Make him feel satisfied. Make him feel secure. The Bible says, or settled, and in this verse, in verse 23, this woman is telling her son, her husband is known in the gates. She understands that she has influence. Her strength is part here in verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, verse in 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. The word strength is a word that here means strength. Earlier, who can find a virtuous or a strong woman? The word there means an army, a woman who realizes she has an army of power behind her. And she uses it to make her world better place, make her man stronger, make her life more delightful, builds around her. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down. She understands she wants to use her strength in the right way, the way God created her, not to be God, but to be good. And when she steps up and steps in and says, "I'm going in for God," she finds great delight and strength. Real strength becomes her clothing. The word strength here means virtue. The word strength here means strength. Honor is the word glory or majesty. It's the idea of a public testimony. Everybody knows her. Everybody wants to be like her, wants to emulate her. And look at this. I love this. It says, she opens her mouth. Let's see here. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. Underline this. And she shall rejoice in time to come. The word rejoice literally means play. When her life, and in the word in time to come, means at the last. Because what's going to happen is because she invested herself relationally as God designed her to do. See, occupation, all that's good and fine. You may have to work fine. Okay, I understand it. But don't lose sight. You're created for relationship. And when you invest yourself relationally, what happens? You actually reap a bountiful harvest of laughter. I'm sitting here singing a song this morning, and Dixie can't even focus. She can't think straight. She's got her grandbaby, and she's chuckling. Folks, you can have your whole house filled with that. If you build into your world, it's laughter, it's play. She will rejoice, she will laugh in the end, it says, in the time, at the last in her life. A lot of women come down to the end of their lives and there's a lot of grief. And God can heal that grief. He can fill that void. He can be a father to the fatherless. He can be a husband to the widow. But the fact is if we can play it God's way, if we can live it out the way God designed for us to, it can end well. And it goes on to say in verse 28, her children arise up. It doesn't say rise up and call her blessed. It says arise up. It means that they get established too. She understands rocking the cradle properly will help them live nobly too. They arise up. The whole idea of arising up means they eventually come into their own successfully. Why? Because mom believed in them. Just like she believed in their dad. She is a life giver. She's the giver of life and birth. She's the breather of life in her heart, in the relationships around her. You ever thought about this? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you know where you are in that, ladies? Holy Spirit. God shows the Trinity in the home. Your heart, you breathe life. You're a life giver. You inspire. You ennoble. You make us want to be better than we would ever have been without you. She's a life giver, not a purveyor of death. Why do I say that? Because in the garden, when the devil tempted Eve, what did he say? You will be like God. Right? She wanted control, so she took. She bit. She said, he didn't come to Adam with that. In fact, Adam knew what he was doing. He threw himself under the bus for Eve. He knew. Because he worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Here's the thing. What did she do after she ate? She turned around and gave to her husband. She said, let's play it this way. Let's do it this way. And he said, okay. And what did God say? Because you have listened or hearkened to the wife, to your words of your wife, the voice of your wife. What was the alternative? The voice of God, which says, don't eat. What I'm saying is, ladies, you have the power of life and death. You can inspire and ennoble, or you can turn around and say no. Now, I realize I'm preaching to a great deal of ladies who know that they're seeing their part. I know you're kind of caught up in the ebb and flow of our generation, and it's hard to get it clear. But when we look at the Word of God, we begin to make sense and it resonates. And for most of you, you want to be on task and on target for this. And look what it says in verse 7, or verse 30. Verse 30 says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her, underline these words, her own works. Praise her in the gates. What are her own works? She just said, your husband sits in the gates. So he's up there talking about her. He's talking her up. Man, you should meet my wife. Matter of fact, she's the best woman I've ever met. The kids are like, well, nobody's like mom. I've never met anybody like my mom. We'll be unto you ladies who come into contact with a guy who had a good mom, because it's intimidating sometimes. But her works, she'll praise her. You see, the point is, you rock the cradle. You have to have the values to instill in your kids. You have to have the values to do virtuously. And as he says at the end here, verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously or with great strength, but you excel them all. She's thinking of somebody. We don't know who she's thinking about, but she's thinking of someone. And she's telling her son, look for that girl. Don't settle for anything less, because she can make you or she can break you. Now, as I conclude, remember this. You want to know what she says to men? You look here. You want to know what she says to women? Look in Song of Solomon. Virtue, goodness, sweetness and light Awake not, love, before it's time. Why? Because the little foxes spoil the vine. Women are being deceived today, told they can be God, and they're buying into it and finding loneliness on the other side.